Good morning. It is great to be back here. I always feel like I'm at home, and Matt's the one who said nobody needed to introduce me. So that's where that came from. But I am just very thankful. I tell people that this is one place where I always feel like I'm on your radar. I never feel like I'm forgotten, or I feel like that people here are always looking for ways to help me, and that's a wonderful, encouraging feeling. And I'm just thankful to be able to come today and share a little bit of what's been going on lately. And as I was thinking about this message, I was reminded, if you go to the YMCA, when you come out, there's a basket there, and it has little slips of paper with Bible verses or wise sayings. And recently I picked up one, and it said, it was Psalm 119, verse 162, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." And there are two particular treasures of God's word that have become more significant to me over the past 7 years. I can't believe I've been in Shelby 7 years. For a long time, I was telling people I've been here 6 years, and then I realized, no, seven, almost eight. So it's just flying by. But the first verse that really has become very meaningful is Psalm 18:24. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And you might think that's kind of odd, but the message translates it, "This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive." And this is a verse that's full of hope and joy, as we know God is good, and we can rejoice no matter what comes our way. God creates our days, and if we wake up, it's a good day. And it's a very uplifting verse. My father died last year in February at the age of 96. And despite increasing physical problems, he woke up almost every morning with that verse on his lips. Even to the point as he was dying, I was with him the last few days as he was actively dying. And some of the staff came in and kept talking about how they loved to come in and see him in the morning because that was what he would say when they woke him up. And it's just a very powerful verse. And as I live among and learn about my neighbors and the ways they struggle through so many, many challenges, I have become even more thankful and have become more aware of how blessed I am and extremely privileged. I can rejoice every day because God's goodness. But I know many of my neighbors struggle to believe that God loves them and that he cares about them at all. And then a second verse is the one that Mary read this morning. It's a source, it's been my favorite verse for years. And Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And this verse has a very different flavor, but it's one I remember often as I go about my daily work, because what stands out to me is that in the context of this verse, Joshua, they were going into the promised land. They weren't going into the weed and seed neighborhood. They were entering into the land of milk and honey. They were going to receive what God had promised them, and it was a good thing. They were going to have a new start, a new life, but they were facing great unknowns. And just like if we change jobs or there are a lot of new starts that we have, a new home, a new job, a new baby. But these are life events that are full of unknowns, especially if you bring a new baby home. You know, what in the world? What am I supposed to do with this thing? But all of these things, even if they're good things, cause us to be afraid or discouraged. So each day I'm very thankful that God allows me another day to work and to face the many unknowns with his presence encouraging me. And I love the work that I do, but I never know what is coming next, whether it's the homeless woman ringing the bell for food or knocking on my bedroom window because I won't come to the door, or text from a frantic mother whose child has just missed the bus for the 10th time this month, even after I bought them two new alarm clocks, or I receive a text from a teenage girl whose gym bag has just been stolen and her track cleats are in it, or her mother has OD'd again. Or a neighbor calls to tell me that she's praying for me. It's all good. Or another neighbor calls to tell me she's been watching my house while I've been gone. I just never know which side is coming. But as with any work with people who live in poverty and violence, there are encouraging glimpses of hope and there are extremely discouraging events. And there are times when I can truly rejoice and times when I'm very discouraged. And some of the discouraging times in the last couple of years have been the mother who abandoned all six of her children for over 5 months, and her two teenage boys have been living with me since February of last year. They've come and gone part of the time. They've been with me now pretty much all the time. We did get them graduated, and I have good news about that in a minute. But anyway, but the mother has returned, and so they spend a little bit of time with her, but all of their stuff is at my house. They use my address as their permanent address, and I have been signing progress notes, progress reports, and report cards, and I get the calls if they've missed class for some reason on an outing or something. I get the robocalls from the high school. But it's been discouraging. I never planned to have two teenage boys. I had girls. I don't know boys. But anyway, so it's been really something. And then a few weeks ago, there were two young men who were arrested for robbing the pizza restaurants in Gastonia. And one of them is a young man I've given rides to numerous times, from football and track, taking him home. Another young guy in the neighborhood was arrested for stealing, and he was the sweetest, cutest little boy when he used to come to children's church down the street, and now he's facing who knows what. And then there's the seventh grade girl whose mother has called a couple of times wanting help with power bills, but she spent $180 to get her daughter's hair fixed. Then she bought a car, and she doesn't have a license, and she doesn't have insurance, and she drives around all over the place without benefit of these things that are really important. And she gets mad at me if she thinks I'm not giving her child as much as I'm giving all the other kids. And she yells at me. And then there are the four children I pick up for church, and their mother was arrested a few weeks ago for pointing a gun at someone, and it's not the first time. And then there are these two precious little boys who attend homework club, and their father's been arrested, and they've moved so many times that we never know exactly where they're living from week to week for homework club. Fortunately, we have a really wonderful man from Aldersgate who goes and finds them. He hunts them down. And then there was the Monday they came to homework club and they said they hadn't been to school that day. And we said, well, why didn't you go? And this was the third school for that year, for this past school year. And they said, we just didn't want to go there today. So we didn't go. They didn't go to their new school. They were supposed to go to their new school that day. And they said, we just decided not to go. And then recently, a couple weeks ago, there was a young man shot and killed in our neighborhood. You may have heard that on the news. And the young man who did it was a friend of a lot of the boys that hang out at my house. They grew up with him. And the next day, there was a big fight in front of my house. And people were yelling. It was a large crowd. And the boys that there at the house with me, we heard the commotion, and we went to the door, and one of the boys in the house said, oh my goodness, one of those guys has a gun. So I called the police, and the police started coming. By the time they got there, the people were gone, running up and down the street. But in the meantime, a young man came running into our house to hide off of the street. He saw that we weren't really sure where to go, because my house has been hit by stray bullets twice, and my van once, and so we didn't know whether to stay in the front or run to the back or what to do. And finally, this young guy, he decided to run out the back door. And that's just another part of it. And then there's a young girl. She's one of the first ones I've met when I first came. I've known her for over 7 years, almost 8 years. And when I first started hanging out in the neighborhood, she was 11, and she'd already been molested 3 times, and she later molested her own young cousin, and now she's dropped out of school, and a few weeks ago she came by to invite me to her baby shower, and as her way of letting me know that she's pregnant. She still comes by to talk sometimes and needs a ride different places, and it just breaks my heart to see that what has happened to her. And those are the things that are right in the neighborhood. But then the latest discouragement is something that has nothing to do with these folks, is that this coming October, I was supposed to have been one of the missionaries with CBF who would begin to receive salary and benefits through their new, they're revamping the whole missionary system so that all of us who have been raising support would start receiving a salary and benefits and housing allowance and that kind of thing. Well, they don't have enough money, so 10 of us will not be receiving that. I received a call a few weeks ago. I will receive a grant for a year, and then they'll see. But this time next year, I had not planned to retire or anything like that. So I don't know what this is going to mean for the work. I don't intend to move or, you know, anything like that. But I don't know exactly what it will look like this time next year. And it just so happened recently, I've been reading the whole book of Joshua. And as I've been digesting this new reality for my ministry, which is very uncertain, I was reading, had gotten to the end, and I was in chapter 24, and I started noticing all of the things that God said that he did. He said, I took, I gave, I assigned, I sent, I brought you out, I brought your fathers out, I brought you, I gave them, I destroyed them, I delivered you, I gave them, I sent. And I started thinking, the Lord has got this. I can just be still. He will act. He will make sure that whatever plans he has for this ministry will come forth. But just don't know what that is. So in the meantime, I'm still raising all my own support for everything. It was supposed to change, so all I needed was ministry expenses. But now I will need to continue to raise the support for everything. So I'm just trying to be obedient and be still and wait and see what God has to plan, because he always has a better idea. He always does. So, but then there are the encouraging things. And some of these you may have heard before, but they are still the most encouraging things, the things that keep me staying in that house with the bullets coming in. So there's a 16-year-old girl who is... had always been in trouble. You may have heard me say before that she threatened me with a baseball bat at one time. Used to get suspended at school all the time, angry, fighting. And a couple months ago, she gave her testimony in church about how God had helped her control her anger. And she is a different young woman. She's doing very well in school, very well in track, and just doing really well. And then there's the 16-year-old boy who was our thief. He stole from everyone. He was angry and always in trouble at school. And he stole from me. He stole from his teacher. He stole from the church. He stole from the Boy Scouts. He stole from everybody. And now he is a different young man. He has a different countenance in his face. We just kept taking him to church and inviting him to things. And I kept spending as much time with him as I could. And now I feel comfortable. I can leave him in my house by himself while he washes his clothes, which I would not have done before, because if I did, there would be nothing left when I got back. So he's just, and I even use him as a tutor in the homework club at times, because he's very responsible. He enjoys doing that. And now he has the dream of being a military police officer, of all things. The other encouraging thing is we have a new jewelry business that we're trying to get off the ground. We've had a lot of stops and starts, but we're hoping to keep that going. We've had one giant sale last October, and all the kids made enough money to buy clothes and have their own spending money on some of our trips and things like that. And our most gifted jewelry maker is the young thief. He makes beautiful jewelry. He has an eye for... how things go together, and he really, really has an eye for design. It's just amazing. And so we're trying to keep that going, and we'll be hopefully selling in different, having a hard time getting into the farmer's market because the beads are not made locally. So anyway, we're going to have to make paper beads. Even though we've had thousands of dollars worth of beads donated, we're going to have to make some beads in order to sell at the farmer's market. But we're working on that. So, and then there's our last summer, I don't know if you heard, that we had four young people from the neighborhood who went to Belize on a mission trip. And one of them was the girl who threatened me with the bat. And she's also one of the jewelry makers. And then our reading homework club. This year we transitioned over to Aldersgate United Methodist Church. And we still have 10 children, and we've had a lot of good helpers, but our tutors who've been with us for about 3 years are burned out. And so we're hoping to copy an example. This year we had a Sunday school class from Double Springs Baptist Church. They adopted the third Monday of every month. And that class, that third Monday, they would bring supper and they would bring enough tutors. And it worked wonderfully. So we're trying to copy that for this coming fall. And so if any Sunday school classes or mission groups or anybody who would like to adopt one Monday a month or every other month, I think if we get enough people to adopt different Mondays, we can share the love. And Mary Cornwell's students at Burns have been providing our meals on the second Monday of every month. And if they continue to do that, maybe you could partner with her and you won't have to cook anything. And her meals are the favorites, I'll tell you now. The kids just love, they go, oh, Miss, the Burns students' meal, yay. They're always excited because it's always really good. And all the really good brownies. So that's what we're looking for next year. Again, on Mondays from 5:30 till about 7:45, we eat for the first hour and then we work on homework. And that way, maybe nobody will get so burned out because the children are challenging. I mean, there are weeks we have to take kids home because they just can't get along long enough to do their homework. So, other than that, it's going well. We had on the last night this year, on the last Monday when we met, at the end of every Monday, we reserved 15 minutes for the students to stand up and practice public speaking. They have to say their name and they tell what they've learned that night. So on the last Monday this year, I had them to express their thanks or whatever to the tutors who are not going to be with us anymore. And one little girl, I've had to take her home I don't know how many times, but she stood up and she said, thank you for helping me with my homework and thank you for loving me even when I'm bad. So we are making some impact. And then the boys who are living with me, we just found out this week, they are getting full track scholarships to a small college in South Carolina. And that is a biggie for them. Nobody in their family has ever even finished high school, hardly, but they're going to college, and pray for them because it's going to be a huge transition for them and for all of us to get them ready. But the key is a wonderful Christian man who is going to be their coach, and he's going to be the one who's going to make it happen. And then finally, the most encouraging thing, though, that has happened to me in the last couple of years has been my friend Georgette, the homeless lady. And she is an untreated bipolar alcoholic, drug abusing prostitute. She's been arrested numerous times. She comes by almost every day for food or clothes or some money for cigarettes, and I often give her money for cigarettes because I don't want her to have to sell herself for a cigarette. And she's been to church with me a couple of times, and she's been arrested several times for being drunk and disruptive or for stealing a beer. And the other day she came by, she needed some cold medicine, so I gave her something because she had a very bad cold. But when my father died, February a year ago, she took better care of me than anybody in Shelby. She came by every single day to check on me and to give me a hug. And then she went around the neighborhood and told all the other people in the neighborhood to check on me and make sure I was okay. Nobody else did that but Georgette. Nobody in Shelby did that. And so when the verse in Joshua says, "Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go," God showed me he was with me as I journeyed into grief, and he did it through a homeless, alcoholic prostitute. As I shared earlier, Psalm 118:24 says in the message, "This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive." God has been acting, and there's much to celebrate. And because he is with me wherever I go, I can be encouraged and unafraid. And no, I'm never afraid. I'm not, even with the gun people in the streets, I'm still not afraid. And I can persevere despite the disappointments and discouraging actions of some of the people God puts in my path. But God calls all of us to rejoice and trust him and depend on him. And many of my neighbors have trouble with that. But several of the youth are demonstrating that they get it. They are depending on him more, and their lives are better, and they have hope for their future, and it's going to make an eternal difference for which we can all rejoice. And I do thank you always for your support and your prayers for God's work here in Shelby, and for the prayers for my struggling neighbors, and I'm thankful for you very much. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day that you have made and that we can rejoice in it no matter what comes our way. And we thank you that you are with us no matter what happens, Lord. We don't have to be afraid or discouraged. Lord, you are always with us. You have everything in your control. And help us to be examples of that to the others around us, Lord. Help us to be your presence and to be your hands and feet so that those around us who are afraid will come to know you and to know that they can trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.